بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إنما المؤمنون إخوة، الآية. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah for the ni'mah, the blessing of Islam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for keeping us in the deen of Islam, in spite of our many shortcomings, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our laziness, in spite of our reluctance to practice the deen of Islam. We thank Allah for keeping us believing in the oneness of Allah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for keeping the name of Allah alive in our hearts. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every favor that He has bestowed upon us. Whether we deserve it or not, whether we recognize it or not, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart of a believer, it is the nature of a believing heart, a heart that has firm faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to develop gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the nature of a heart that doesn't believe in Allah to not recognize and to regard as insignificant the blessings and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When shaitan was expelled from Jannah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled shaitan from paradise, it was the promise of shaitan, ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when I approach your servants, when I come to them and I corrupt their minds and their actions and their intentions, then you will find that many of them will be ungrateful. So when we are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the victory of shaitan. And when we are grateful to Allah, when our hearts submit before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we recognize the favors of Allah and we feel that sense of gratitude, that is breaking the back of shaitan and causing him to lose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many favors. But one of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned upon the believers is the favor and the ni'mah of being brothers in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told addressed the companions in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon you when a time was there when you were enemies unto one another, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united your hearts. This is such a ni'mah, brotherhood in Islam, that connection that we establish with each other, that relationship that we share with our fellow Muslim, is such a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal told us that this will be one of the things that will continue from this world into the hereafter. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us in paradise as well. Part of the blessings, part of the enjoyment and the entertainment, the luxuries of paradise, is that we will be able to remember our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters from this world. We will maintain that brotherhood. We will maintain that connection as Muslims. This is the foundation of Islam. Being kind to one another, being generous, being respectful to one another, it is the hallmark of our deen. that we look past a person, age, race, nationality, and we simply look at the actions of the person. We look at the belief of the person that I forgive you, I love you, I care for you because of your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of the Sahaba, before Islam came, there were the tribes of Aus and Khazraj. For decades, for centuries, they fought with each other. They would fight over the pettiest of issues. In some narrations it says children were reborn into the tribes. Children were reborn, they would grow up and be killed over the dispute between the tribes, and they would die without knowing why the dispute started in the first place. For generation upon generation, there was this dispute. When Islam came, Muslims and Sahaba came from both of these tribes. Sahaba came from both of these tribes. It was not easy for them to simply forget the disputes that they had. It was not easy to them to look past their differences, the tribalism. But their iman and their faith was so strong. They were so firm on their obedience to Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they moved past that, that they went beyond that tribal dispute, and they became brothers, taking care of the needs of one another. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to them that remember the time when you were enemies and Allah brought your hearts together. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in a hadith that the ummah, the Muslim ummah that we see today and every moment in time, the entire ummah at any level, whether it be a community level, a national level, an international level, the Muslims are like the building blocks of a building, of a structure. This is the example given, that if one Muslim is taken out or is excluded or is distanced from the group, if we don't include and we don't make that Muslim feel part of the ummah, then that building becomes weak. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the ummah is like a body. إِنْ اِشْتَكَى بَعْضُهُ اِشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. If a part of the body suffers difficulty, if a part of the body feels trauma, then the entire body feels the effects of it. Today at every level, Muslims have found a reason to be divided. Muslims have found reasons, Islamic and un-Islamic, to separate themselves. We tend to gravitate towards those who we find similarity with. But this isn't the deen of Islam. If this was the way of Islam, we would not have Muhajireen and Ansar. We would not have the Sahabas who migrated to Mecca, to Medina, and the people who lived in Medina who helped them when they came there. Rather, we would have Aus and we would have Khazraj. We would have Quraysh and we would have the other tribes. But Islam brought us together. The Sahaba showed us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that they had to forgive each other. They had to go in battle together and defend one another. When before Islam, they would go in battle and fight against one another. When the Sahabas migrated from Mecca to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed the Ansar, the people of Medina, the Sahaba. He told them, this is your brother. Take him into your home. Take care of his needs. Give him from your wealth. We're not required to do that much nowadays. But at least we can take care of the honor of our brother. We can take care of the dignity and the self-respect of our fellow Muslim. That when the name talking begins and someone ridicules and insults our brother, whether in front of him or behind his back, we take care of the honor of our fellow Muslim. It is not logical. It is not Islamic. It is the human need Allah created us with, that we need each other to survive. We exist depending on our relationships. Being isolated is a form of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith, he said, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي أَوْنِ أَخِيهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to be in the assistance and taking care of the needs of his servant, as long as that servant takes care of the needs of his fellow Muslim. If we wish the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot expect to isolate ourselves, to look at who is speaking what language, and who is from which country, and race, and all different levels of segregation. If we look at these things, then we cannot practice our deen completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what matters. What is it that differentiate among people in the deen of Islam? What is it that causes one person to be better? Is it social status? Is it wealth? Is it power and authority? What gives one person the right to be better, or what elevates one person to a higher standard than someone else? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there is nothing material that can give one person status over another. Nothing is recognized by Allah azza wa jal as valid for claiming to be better than someone else. Inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the only thing that gives one person a higher standard over another, the only thing that elevates one person above the level of his fellow human, of his brother, is taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that Allah recognizes as raising the status of one over another is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the condition of the hearts? Today we look at someone, we judge them in 2 seconds, we're ready to determine whether we like the person or not, whether we'll treat them right or not, whether we'll speak to them with respect or not, whether we listen to their statements or not. The human mind is such, the weakness of our minds is such, that we quickly judge based on appearance. Our society is designed to teach us to judge based on appearance. And the more we become engrossed in the activities of social media and social status, then we will become gullible and susceptible to this. That we will judge one another based on what we see without getting to know that person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Sallim ala man arafta wa man lam ta'rif." Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, you enter the masjid, you don't give salam to your friends and your brothers only, but you give salam to everyone, the ones you know and the ones you don't know as well. Wa khaliqin nas bi khuluqin hasan, and interact with people with good character. Not only the people that you know, not your relations only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us based on how we treat one another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in a hadith, he said, we look at someone and we judge that person based on their appearance. We quickly condemn, that person is not dressed too well, that person doesn't look wealthy, doesn't look like a person of authority, that person doesn't look too well kept. And shaitan makes it such that the people in need, the people who have little, we find that disgust in our hearts towards them. We find that hatred towards them. It comes easily. And he makes it such that the people who don't need, the people of wealth and status and power, we have that instant respect and reverence towards them. But when we stand in front of Allah, Allah will look into the hearts. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ. Allah doesn't look at our bodies, our appearances, our clothing, our shoes, our dressing. Allah looks at our hearts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you might look at a person, rubba ash'atha aghbar. You look at this person, his hair is disheveled, he's untidy, aghbar, he's covered in dust, his color is a bit dark, because of his poor condition. مَدْفُوعٌ بِالْأَبْوَابِ. If he goes to the doors of the homes, they would chase him away. They would turn him away. If he attends a gathering, no one pays attention to his statements. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, رُبَّ أَشْأَثَ أَغْبَرَ مَدْفُوعٌ بِالْأَبْوَابِ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. You look at this person, you quickly develop some sentiments towards that individual. You quickly judge the person based on the exterior qualities. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. That same person, it could be that his heart is connected to Allah at such a level. His heart is connected to Allah at such a level. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. If you understood Arabic, you would understand the gravity of what is being said. This here means that if that person is to take an oath that I swear by Allah that I would like to do so and so, his connection is such with Allah Azza wa Jal, his relationship is so strong with Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would change the conditions and the circumstances of the world to make that person fulfill that oath that he took. To make that person be able to fulfill that wish that he had. But we judge that person without knowing. This thing called brotherhood, it has to come from a sincere part of our bodies. It has to come from our hearts, a very sincere place. If it comes from our minds and it's just something that we say, if it comes from our external faculties and we just pretend to love our brother in Islam, then it will quickly go away. When the moments of real test come, when that brother is in need and requires that we give up our time, when that brother is in need and requires that we give up a little bit of our wealth, when we have to inconvenience ourselves to help our fellow Muslim, in those moments, if we are not sincere in our love and our concern for our fellow Muslim, then nothing will happen. We would not be able to perform. We would not be able to show that love and concern if it doesn't come from a sincere place. It's easy to give salam and smile, but the test comes when that brother comes and asks for a moment of your time to give some advice. When that brother has a problem, a difficulty, and comes to you in need. When that brother's name is being slandered, and you stand up at the expense of your own dignity to represent that fellow Muslim, to speak out against the atrocities and the things that are being said against that person. When you put your own social standing as the price to protect that fellow Muslim, that is when you show the true brotherhood. As Muslims, we have to revive that love for one another. Without it, لا تدخلوا الجنة. You will not enter Jannah حتى تحابوا حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You will not enter Jannah until you believe, and you can never truly believe until you love one another. You cannot truly believe until you love one another." We have to think good about our fellow Muslim. We have to look past the mistakes. We have to forgive our fellow Muslim. We have to forgive our brothers and sisters in Islam. We become angry, we forgive them. The Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Allah praised the people. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us three steps. And these are the people who Allah love. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, imagine your brother makes you angry. Someone says something, does something that irritates you. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. The first thing, you suppress your anger. You don't act upon that anger. You don't show that anger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had many youngsters, youth, growing up around him. They would tell us in hadith mentioned later that as we grew up around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never shouted and raised his voice at us for the mistakes that we made. He never raised his voice or showed any anger towards them. Rather, with kindness, with compassion, he would correct their actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, first, to suppress the anger. Someone annoys us, someone bothers us, someone causes us some difficulty. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ We suppress that anger. We don't express it. We don't start cursing and shouting and insulting and trying to put the person down. وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ Secondly, to forgive that person. One, to suppress the anger, the desire to respond, the desire to insult or ridicule. The words will come to your mind, but your iman will stop them from coming out of your mouth. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ And forgive that person. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah then encourages us. If you know what Allah loves in this situation, do you want to know what Allah loves in this situation? Allah encourages us. Here you go. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah loves that person. Allah would take that person close to Him. That person who will not only control his anger, who will not only forgive that person, but Allah will love that person who? يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Those who will turn around and be kind and show kindness to the same one who made them angry. Be generous to that person. Show extra kindness to that individual. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he's sitting, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he starts smiling. Hatta badat thanayahu. The hadith, the rawi of the hadith, the narrator Abu Hurairah says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, we're sitting and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts smiling. And he smiled to such an extent where his teeth became visible. And this was the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would smile at. He never laughed with sound, with a loud ruckus or a loud sound and laughter. He would smile, and if he was really happy, he would smile until his teeth became visible. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting and he smiled. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and the companions, they asked him, Bima dahikta ya Rasulullah, what is it that caused you to smile, O Rasulullah? Share with us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, as a scenario that will take place on the day of Qiyamah, but it is as if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can see it taking place right now. Rajulani jathaya bayna yaday Allahi azza wa jal. Two men, two Muslims, two brothers kneeling before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khudh madlimati, take my sin, this person, take my mistakes off of me. This person has oppressed me. Take my right from that person. Take my right from him. He has done some form of oppression against me. He has wronged me in such and such way. And you promised that there will be no injustice on this day. So one person is claiming to Allah that, O Allah, this person oppressed me. Take my right from him. And give it to me. Give me his blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the person who the claim is being made against, give this person his right. He will say to Allah, if I give, look at my hasanat, look at my good deeds, if I give this person his right, then I will have no good deeds left. Allah will then say to him, okay, take his evil deeds. The person will say, I have very little good deeds as it is, and I have to take on more evil deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at this point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started crying, profusely crying. Tears flow from his eyes. And he says, this is that moment. This is that moment where every soul will need someone to carry the burden, will need someone to relieve that burden from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to that person who is claiming against that other individual, look over there, look into Jannah, look into paradise, and he will see a castle decorated with all the beauties of Jannah, decorated with the most luxurious form of decorations. And he will say to Allah, for which prophet is this? For which pious person is this? For which close friend of Allah is this castle? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to this person, لِمَنْ أَعْطَى الثَّمَنْ لِمَنْ أَعْطَانِيَ الثَّمَنْ. This castle, in all its luxuries, it is for that person who will pay me the price for it. It is for that person who will pay me the price for it. And he's marveling at it. That person will say to Allah, وَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ. Who will own, who can possibly have the price to pay, the value, the worth to pay for this castle? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you have it. Allah will say to him, you have the ability to pay for it. You have the ability to pay for this castle in paradise. He will say, I have it. How do I have it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to him, بِعَفْوِكَ أَنْ أَخِيكَ. By forgiving your brother, that castle become yours. That is the price for it. And he will say, really? Allah will say, yes. بِعَفْوِكَ أَنْ أَخِيكَ. It is yours if you forgive your brother. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, take your brother's hand and both of you go enjoy the comforts and luxuries of paradise. This is the value of forgiving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For loving each other for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. We have nothing to benefit from disunity and dissension. We have nothing to benefit from segregating ourselves. Look at the real powerful and strong people who had honor and dignity in their lives. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People who were fearless and powerful. Forgiveness doesn't make us little. Forgiveness doesn't take away our dignity. But anger does. Malice and hatred does. People like Khalid ibn Walid, the warriors of Islam. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the lion of Allah. He would stand before the enemies and he would take out his sword when the enemies would come face to face. And he would stand and say, مَنْ يُبَارِزُنِي. Who is willing to challenge me? People like Umar radiallahu anhu, so feared in the community that even the unseen creation of Allah, the shayateen, were afraid to walk the same way that Umar radiallahu anhu was walking. These were fearful people. These were powerful people. These were warriors of Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in such a beautiful way in the Quran, how they interacted with one another. أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That they were fierce in the battlefield. They were fierce and fearless in the battlefield. But when they came to their fellow Muslim, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, they had that love and unity and kindness. They had that compassion towards their fellow Muslim. That is where their strength ended. That is where their power ended. That is where their voice ended. Their voices became soft. Their kindness became prevalent. Their compassion filled their hearts when they came to dealing with their fellow Muslim. These are our guides. These are the people we have to follow. Let us put aside our egos. Let us put aside our own emotions and our own temptations. And let us look at each other as Muslims, as people believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And if you love nothing about that person, love at least what is in the heart of that person. That in that heart lies the word of Allah, the name of Allah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. How can I insult such a heart? How can I ridicule? How can I be angry and curse at such a person when the name of Allah is in the heart of that person? أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة اللهم اغفر لعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وعز وأجل وأتم وأهم وأكبر أقيموا الصلاة.